This Focus with Paul W. Smith podcast is sponsored by Victor's Home Solutions. Visit victors.com, experts in home solutions.
Oh, I am so glad to be back. I was off and on and off and on, and glad to be back where I love being with you. Noon to two, having lunch together, or maybe listening in when you stream us at WJR.com or the WJR app, and listen into our podcast at your own convenience if noon to two is not so convenient for you. We've got the team together. Dave Rieger is in for Mike Parsons, just like the good old days. Danielle Mason running the controls. Rich Luzinski with our WJR traffic and weather first. We got a great story to hear about from Dave Rieger in a moment on the Tesla trip to Chicago. We're going to hear all about the thoughts regarding that from Dave Rieger coming up shortly. Thank you to Donald the Hammer Schuster, who pointed out this past Wednesday, June 26th, was my 28th anniversary of being back at WJR. Thank you very much. And I'm so glad I came back home. My parents were alive, my brother, everyone near and dear to me, so that I could actually work and have them hear my work, which they could not do when I was in New York from 85 to 90, and then in Philadelphia from 90 to 96. So I had an 11-year break from my time full-time at WJR. Part of the time I was in New York, I went back and forth every week. I worked Monday through Friday at WABC, and Saturday and Sunday, after flying back, I would do the morning show on the weekend. Along the way, I would fill in for J.P. McCarthy years before that and do the Focus show, part of it from Philadelphia, in fact. So I've been probably, I'm just guessing, my association with WJR goes about 35 years, which would mean that Ann Thomas and I are the longest surviving on-air people currently. I think I did the math correctly, and I believe that's true, because Ann is on the air all the time now, with Opportunity Detroit, The Gardening Show, any number of other things, Women Who Lead, and she's been here about the longest as well. So just these are little facts and figures that came to my mind as I heard from Donald the Hammer Schuster wishing me another happy anniversary. He stays on top of that. A little late for this, but yesterday our good friend Dan Lepp celebrated his birthday on July 1st, along with our friend Jamie Farr, Klinger from MASH. Also today, birthdays include Larry Burns. And then when we do a best of show on the 4th of July, our dear friend Marie Kennedy, who we grew up across the street from, Marie Kennedy will celebrate her birthday July 4th, and our dear friend Lou Dickey, who used to own this company long ago, started this company. He also celebrates on the 4th of July. So I know I missed a lot of things. One of the things I was dying to talk with you about was the debate. And what I wanted to talk about had nothing to do with the debate. In fact, I'd like you to forget that it was supposed to be a debate. Forget that it was with former President Donald Trump and current President Joe Biden. Forget all that. I'm going to read my Monday column to you. I rarely do this. I probably should do it. It's been suggested before. But here's what was printed in yesterday's Detroit News. Did you hear people say before Thursday's debate, I wonder which Donald Trump will show up? I didn't hear too many people say, I wonder which Joe Biden will show up. Well, obviously, they should have. I've asked a number of times after the State of the Union address, even the very next day, I say, where did that Joe Biden come from? And where is he today? Well, we may never find out where that President Biden came from or went, but we know quite clearly he did not show up for the debate, not even close. After a full week of preparation and practice, it is astonishing anyone, let alone the current President of the United States, could be so dazed and confused on the world stage as he was. The supporters who lied to the American people by saying things like, well, behind the scenes, he has so much energy and gets so much done. Or the very politicians who would challenge me when I would point out the president's clear cognitive failings on this radio show. They clearly cared more about their party than this great country of ours. And don't get me started on his family, including Dr. Jill Biden. How could a wife or brother or any family member stand by and watch a loved one go through this and have his career end with such embarrassment? We finally beat Medicare? Really? Obviously, former President Donald Trump won the debate, but was it enough to change the minds of those who don't like him? People who have been in denial regarding President Biden's decline can no longer kid themselves. If everyone will be honest and real about all this, it's over for President Biden. He cannot possibly serve another term. It's going to be amazing for him to get through this term. I added that part because that's how I feel. But in the end, watching that debate, well, it was just sad to watch. But my friends, take out Donald Trump. Take out winners, losers. This president had his own rules. His people had their own rules for this debate. He merely had to show up and show that he could cognitively discuss things. He failed. He could not. And it's very disappointing to hear someone like President Barack Obama say, oh, he had a bad debate night. I know what that's like. No, I'm sorry, President Obama. You don't know what it's like yet to have no idea what was going on and to be in such cognitive decline. It wasn't a bad debate. It was a normal night for Joe Biden, unprotected by those around him, including his family. I would hope that my family would never do something like that to me, because they're doing this to him in order to solidify their position of being the brother of, the wife of, the son of the President of the United States. And all these people who would say to me when I would bring this up, well, I'm not certain that's not doctored video. There was nothing doctored about the live lack of performance. Forget about debate. There was no debate. There was just, for some people, surprisingly, the first time they saw just how bad a shape President Joe Biden is in. And it's sad. But it's true. So don't go for the, well, it was just a bad night for the debate. No. His cognitive problems are so very real. I don't know. Do you feel any way differently, Mr. Rieger? You have strong feelings about things.
Yeah, unfortunately, for the Democrats, it was a bad look.
Well, for the country.
It was just a bad look.
For the country, it's a bad look.
I feel kind of bad for President Biden, actually.
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, you can only think of relatives. I've been lucky to have many of them live to be in their 90s and Grandpa Harry 100. But as I said a million times before, wouldn't expect him to be president at 100.
Yeah.
Or 95.
Right. I think they need to have, well, we've talked about this when I was producing the show, They need age limits.
I don't think it's age limits. I think it's cognitive limits. There are people I've met at 65 who act like they're 90, and there are people I've met at 90 who act like they're 65.
But the problem is that who's testing them for the cognitive limits? So if they want them in there, you know what I'm saying? It kind of makes it.
I know. It becomes a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, tell me, did you say, you told me this ahead of the show when we were going over notes. Did you already take the Chicago trip?
Tomorrow.
You're doing it tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
And you're going in a Tesla.
Going in a Tesla from here to Chicago. How many times do we have to stop to charge?
I love the question. I can't wait till you get back. I know that you'll be back at your own other duties as a engineer.
I will report back to you.
I need you to report back to me.
Definitely.
On how that went.
You got it.
Because, you know, there's one news story after another about the charging stations and how for $8 billion they put in 11 charging stations. There was a story there today somewhere about that in the news, and I'm going, wait, are you kidding me? But I'm also saying, and we, I know we have to move along, but our governor, Gretchen Whitmer, who's been talked about nationwide for other jobs, including president or vice president, I think more president than vice president, but be that as it may, her statement is out there today saying she believes that President Biden will carry Michigan. I don't know why she still has to say that and still believe that. She's not being disloyal by speaking the truth. And honestly, nobody can really believe that President Biden has what it takes to do four more years. You just can't. This got nothing to do with the former president that President Biden is running against. It's nothing to do with Donald Trump. It has everything to do with the problems of that Joe Biden so clearly has. Not just a bad night, a bad debate. No, that's not what this is. And now it's up to the Democrats to prove that their party isn't more important than their country. They need to put somebody in there who can handle the job. And they should. They'll certainly give that. That will give former President Trump a run for the money unless they make further mistakes like they did with the current vice president. Well, be that as it may, lots to talk about, lots going on. But here's what I'd really rather happen for you. That you win a trip to see the Eagles at the Sphere in Las Vegas. Man, I can't wait to see that thing in person. And, of course, that iconic band at an iconic venue. The Eagles live at Sphere Las Vegas, performing 16 shows this September 20th through December 14th. And you could be there. We've got two trips for two with flights. A stay at the Venetian Resort Las Vegas. Dinner at Chica Las Vegas. Two tickets to the show plus a Vibee VIP experience package. Prizes provided by Live Nation. To enter for your chance to win, text this hour's national keyword, town. Text this hour's national keyword, town, to 95819. 95819. For full details and official contest rules, visit WJR.com. All right, just a second here. I know Maria is standing by. I want to get to Maria here in just a second. But I got a note. It's so nice to know that Sheriff Michael Bouchard is a regular listener. I really appreciate that, Sheriff. God bless you and all the things you do and all the men and women you represent. But when he heard Rieger was going to Chicago, he sent me a note quickly saying, hey, tell Rieger that he should definitely go to the museum where the only U-boat of its class is located and get an inside tour. If he's a World War II historian, it is amazing. There's actually a book that's for sale in the museum gift store that I bought when I was there and have read, which is very fascinating, from a guy that was on that U-boat during all of it. That's from Sheriff Michael Bouchard. Rieger, what do you think? Do you have time to go visit that museum with the U-boat?
First of all, thank you, Sheriff, for the note. I will have to run it by my three nieces aging from 3 years old to 8 years old to see if they would like to go to the museum.
I did tell Dave there's a bubble room there, so they might like the bubble room or the baby chicks.
All right, so tell me, what is a bubble room?
I'm honestly not really sure. I just know there's a bunch of bubbles in there. And there's just a bunch of machines that make bubbles, it's still there.
A bubble room, that's interesting.
The bubble room's cool.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, that could win them over. I'm not sure, Dave. You'll let us know.
Mm-hmm. But I will report back. Thank you, Sheriff Bouchard.
Yeah, thank you, Sheriff, for thinking of us. Okay. Another note. My phone is filled with notes. When I mentioned that Ann Thomas and I have been here 35-plus years, she's here the longest, so we're the longest on the air. I did get a note from Marie saying, I've been here 20 years, It would have been 30, but I did 10 years in witness protection. Who knew, Marie? I had no idea that you were once in witness protection. Although that would have understood the mustache and full beard that you had when I first met you. Meanwhile, is Marie there?
I am here.
Oh, okay. Meanwhile, legal experts, political pundits, and ordinary citizens are weighing in on the historic Supreme Court ruling handed down Monday concerning immunity. Among the people weighing in, of course, President Joe Biden and his team. And, of course, our WJR senior news analyst, Marie Osborne, has more on what the president had to say. Marie?
Hi, Paul. So deciding for the first time whether presidents are immune from criminal prosecution, a divided Supreme Court said official acts taken by a president are protected, but not steps he took as a candidate. In remarks at the White House, Biden said he agrees with the dissenting opinion of liberal justice Sonia Sotomayor.
Here's what she said. She said, in every use of official power, the president is now a king above the law. With fear for our democracy, I dissent. End of quote. So should the American people dissent. I dissent.
Biden said in his view, the ruling shatters the limits of the presidency, sets a dangerous precedent for the future.
I know I will respect the limits of the presidential powers I have for 3.5 years. But any president, including Donald Trump, will now be free to ignore the law.
And Biden adding, only the voters now have the power to hold the former president accountable for his actions following the 2020 election.
American people must decide. They want to entrust the president once again, the presidency, to Donald Trump, now knowing he'll be more emboldened to do whatever he pleases whenever he wants to do it.
And Paul, in May, Reuters and Ipsos took a poll, found that just 27% of the respondents, 9% of Democrats, 50% of Republicans, and 29% of independents agree that presidents should be immune from prosecution unless they have first been impeached and convicted by Congress.
Well, it's all very confusing, really. I understand the idea that we don't want a president who is in office second-guessing all of his decisions based on his worry that he could get arrested and charged with criminal activity once he steps out of that dome of the White House. I understand that. I don't know where you draw the line, and I'm not sure that the line has been drawn sufficiently. I don't really know. For example, how do you argue when someone did something or does something and say, well, that wasn't really as president, that was something else, or I did that because I'm president and therefore I'm protected? That's the part I don't quite understand we're supposed to be able to get out of this.
You've hit the nail on the head. I think that's exactly where they are right now. So the court looked at four categories of conduct for the Trump indictment, his discussions with the Justice Department following the 2020 election. And on that point, they did say that he was immune in those conversations. But the alleged pressure on the vice president, Mike Pence, his role, his alleged role in the fake pro-Trump electors, and then his conduct on January 6th, that was not decided yet. That's going back to the lower court. That's where that has to be decided. It could be at least another year before that issue is even looked at. And this all might end up back at the Supreme Court again anyway.
Wow. Well, I look at all the picture here and all the things going on, and I try to make some sense out of them. It seems to me that when President Trump didn't react the way people around him were insisting he act and react, like either go there and tell everyone to stand down or make a television appearance right away and tell him to stand down, any a number of those things. He made big mistakes by not doing that. He'll never admit it because he doesn't admit mistakes. Everything's beautiful, you know. It was done perfectly. It was beautiful. But beyond that, since we know that is not true, I think that's when he lost his daughter, who I do believe, out of the three men that we know in the Trump lineup, she is the brightest. Have you ever picked up on that?
She's absolutely stellar. And you know, I've always gotten, and this is only my impression, I don't know her, but I've always gotten the impression she dearly loves her father. You know, all of us love our dads, right? Most of us do anyway.
Right.
But don't you notice that she's been absent?
Absolutely.
Here?
That's my point.
She has, and I think
that was one of the turning points where she realized that her dad really does believe he's the smartest guy in the room, which made me say a long time ago when I had a better relationship with him, time to go to bigger rooms. But that's what he thinks.
Excellent comment. Excellent.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's true.
Anyone who thinks that, right?
Anyone who thinks they're the smartest guy in the room better get to some better rooms and bigger rooms, period, or you don't grow. But he's not interested in growing. He is interested in, showbiz, and I do believe he loves this country and does see many things that are not good that need to be fixed, things that I wish this current president could fix. But I'm not going to make you make a statement, but I just, what I saw, forget about a debate or a good night or a bad night, what I saw was exactly what I worried about when I brought it up to politicians who lied to me and said, oh, no, behind the scenes, he's sharp as a tic-tac and he gets stuff done and it's, you know, it's amazing. Well, somebody's lying there, and he showed us that, unfortunately. So we're in a world of hurt here. I'm brought up even how the rest of the world viewed all of that and how our enemies are just loving this, sadly. Mm-hmm. And we need to get our act together as quickly as we can. And I think for the Democrats, it means they should get somebody who can step in there. And frankly, if they're smart about it, they could get someone who could beat President Trump. Right now, they don't have anyone that could do that. My opinion.
I agree, Paul. Absolutely.
Well, I love that you were in the witness protection program for 10 years, so we're going to put you...
But we've all been here. We've been here a while.
We're
going to
put you up
at
30 with Ann Thomas and myself being here the longest, because we have been. So we're going to include you in that group because we're going to give you credit for those 10 years in the witness protection program. All right. Thank you, Riri.
Thank you.
WJR senior news analyst Marie Osborne, and she's always on top of the stories. Hey, guess who's coming up? A guy who called me and said, hey, love to be on your show again. And I think he said, now this I got to get clarified, I think he said, I'd love for you to introduce me again. And that's Mike Love from America's band, the Beach Boys. And they're coming to town very, very soon. We'll tell you all about it with Mike Love up next. It's Focus with Paul W. Smith at WJR. The Beach Boys, one of the most critically acclaimed and commercially successful bands of all time, with over 100 million records sold worldwide between the 60s and today. The group has had over 80 song charts worldwide, 36 of them in the U.S. top 40, the most by any U.S. rock band, and four topping the Billboard Hot 100. Their influence on other artists spans musical genres and movements. Countless artists have cited Pet Sounds as their inspiration for creating their own musical masterpieces. Rolling Stones ranked Pet Sounds number 2 on its list of the 500 greatest albums of all time, and the Beach Boys number 12 on its list of the 100 greatest artists of all time. Sure, they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame since 1988. They've got the Recording Academy's Lifetime Achievement Grammy Award, a beloved American institution that remains iconic around the world and keeps 60-plus years later performing beautifully. America's band, the Beach Boys, and Mr. Mike Love. Mike, good afternoon.
Yes, Paul, and I just want to say that we're still having fun, fun, fun.
I am sure that you are. I want to remind people, too, there is an all-new documentary on the band, The Beach Boys. It's available to stream on Disney Plus. It's fresh. It's wonderful. I learned things that I did, and I thought I knew a lot about you, Mike, but I learned even more in this current running documentary.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. You know, Frank Marshall, who did the Indiana Jones series, and he did a beautiful documentary on the Bee Gees. He got a hold of it and really made it into something nice. And in fact, my cousin Brian and I, along with Alan Jardine, one of the group members, and David Marks, who signed with us Capitol Records in 1962, and Bruce Johnson, who's been with us since 1965, the new guy. Anyway, we got together at Paradise Cove out in Malibu, where we did our original album cover for Surf and Safari in 1962. We got together, and my cousin Brian and I were reminiscing. He was actually remembering things from our high school days, which I had forgotten. So Brian Wilson's long-term memory is right there. He needs help physically. He's not in great shape physically, and has a conservatorship for medical reasons. But in terms of his long-term, and in terms of being able to sit at the piano and crank out those chords, he's right there. So that's really nice to know. And getting together and singing together and just it was just so sweet.
It seemed to me, wasn't it quite some time since you guys had all been together until you got together for this documentary?
Yeah, well, we'd been together about a year before because there was a CBS documentary. There was 20 acts doing 20 different songs of ours. Hmm. I mean, so that was, I mean, John Legend did Ceylon Sailor, and there's so many different acts, 20 of them. And we had been together, but he's got his own challenges, and we keep busy. You know, I don't know how many shows we're doing this year, but Meadowbrook is one of the greatest places that you can see a show, and it's my favorite place to go in the Detroit area. So, I understand you're going to join us again.
Well, I need to ask you, I hate to ask you this on the air, but you had mentioned it'd be great for me to introduce you again, et cetera, et cetera. But I called the one guy contact, and I haven't gotten a call back, and may not even be the same guy anymore. So I'll call you after this show and find out who I have to check in with. But yeah, I would love to do it, and especially because my mother-in-law is here, Earlene Kettle, and she is, you met her before, she just loves you, and of course my wife Kim does too, and I do too, so the three of us would like to come to the show, and I'd be thrilled and honored to introduce you again, because the Endless Summer Gold Tour is coming up to Meadowbrook this Friday, July 5th at 7:30 p.m. Oakland University's Credit Union is the exclusive presenting partner of Meadowbrook Amphitheater. You can go online and get the tickets. And you might be happy to know, too, that John Stamos from Full House will be joining you on Friday, July 5th at Meadowbrook. And John has played at a number of your locations over many years now.
He loves coming out and playing drums. Actually, before he became Blackie on General Hospital in the mid-'80s, he was a drummer in a little three-piece band in Orange County, California. He loves nothing more than to come out and play drums and hang out. And we back him up on a song called Forever, which when Uncle Jesse got married on Full House, that was the song he chose to sing. And we backed him up then, and we still back him up when he comes out with us on that one. Anyway, we're having a blast. You don't have to worry about Earlene and Kim and yourself. You're more than invited. I think it's an honor for us to have you there introducing us. So how about that?
Well, that's very kind of you to say. And for more than six decades, the Beach Boys music has been an indelible part of American history. What has changed the most? And it's I know that's a long, long answer, but what to you, Mike Love, has changed the most in these six decades?
Touring is infinitely better. When we started out, we would have a station wagon with the U-Haul, and we set up and break down our own equipment. Nowadays, you've got great sound, great lights, really nice venues, and we have two buses, a crew bus, which goes and sets everything up for us, and a band bus. And we just come in and we do a sound check, make sure we're liking what we hear. And so it's really, really nice these days. And so we're having so much fun. And the songs they have an element of immortality to them, I think. I mean, they're people just still love our music, and so we love that, and it's inspiring to see families together. I mean, children, grandparents, and everybody in between. So it's really a fantastic thing these days.
Oh, it is a fantastic thing. It is a wonderful thing to experience the Beach Boys, America's band, again, and you can do it this Friday at 7:30 p.m. Oakland University Credit Union is the exclusive presenting partner of Meadowbrook Amphitheater. Go online and get your tickets, and I will look forward to looking out at you in the audience and then sitting in the audience with you for a wonderful, wonderful experience with Mike Love and the Beach Boys. God bless you, Mike. Keep it going. Now, this is between 63 and 66 years, and you're going to just keep doing it, aren't you?
Well, I don't have any retirement date. As long as I can hit those notes, I have a great time. It's uplifting to see people having such a wonderful time together. And we have a wonderful time. We're lifelong musicians. And it's just a joy to see everybody having a good time, especially in light of how messed up and divisive the world is now. I mean, so, you know, I think our music is, you know, Stamos says their music is more needed now than ever.
I will agree with John Stamos, who will be on the drum set for the concert Friday. Go to 313presents.com, 313presents.com. And get tickets while you still can. We'll look forward to seeing you Friday, Mike. Thanks so much.
See you, Paul W. Thank you very much for having me on the program.
Endless Summer Gold, the 2024 tour with John Stamos, Mike Love, the Beach Boys, America's Band, as we continue with Paul W. on WJR. Well, I did not even know about this until I just found out getting ready for this conversation. I have told you before, I don't think I've had a commercial here for these nice people, but I guess I gave a commercial because we hired them to do some work around our house, and they did an unbelievably good job. And so I said, look, if you ever need any cleaning, Chet's Cleaning is the way to go. They're just incredible. It is a great family business, and they care about what they've been doing, and they've been doing it since 1986. Well, it turns out they had a big fire, and they're still doing business. They're doing everything they can. So let's check in with the founder, co-owner of Chet's Cleaning, Chet Sadowski. Chet, I am sorry to hear about your fire.
Hey, I appreciate that, Paul. It was devastating news 2 weeks ago to today. Just unbelievable. Something you have insurance for it, but when it actually happens, it's just beyond comprehension at first. But a lot of really good things have happened since. Actually, the first morning up, just to give you a little history on it, we have two buildings side by side. One of our buildings is our offices, and our trucks are all housed in there. And we had just bought a new fleet of 7 trucks with all the equipment.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they were all in the back of that shop, and they're all destroyed. But the morning after the fire, we're all sitting in the parking lot, but all of our employees came in. I get choked up. But we're sitting in the parking lot later that day, and we look and we see those 5 trucks that we didn't sell yet, which were our used trucks. And it dawned on us that, hey, we can put those back on the road, buy all new equipment and put inside them. And sitting here today, we have 6 trucks fully equipped out cleaning carpet. Actually, we have 5 on the road today because we're keeping one back just so we can get all the bugs out of them because we did it in such a hurry.
And you moved your entire staff into the other building right next door that was not hurt by the fire, but I think that's your rug and drapery cleaning plant. It's probably pretty crowded in there now.
Yep, I'm sitting in an office with my wife and my son. We have another, it's like a 10 by 12 office. We have another 10 by 10 office with 3 people in it. But a trailer was just delivered yesterday. A temporary trailer, it'll house 4 people. So there wiring that up in the next 2 days so we can move part of the staff in there.
Did you ever figure out how the fire started?
Yeah, and everybody should be aware, and I've heard about it before, but we happened to do a wood floor job, and the product we used, I didn't read the label enough, but it had linseed oil in it. And so those rags got put in with just normal cleaning rags by mistake, and it spontaneously combusted at 11:07 at night because we, wow, you know, we have cameras in the building and everything. And
but thankfully, no one was there to get hurt.
Absolutely, and the firemen were all safe and sound because it was quite a blaze, and they said it pretty major fire. I think they had 4 different fire departments here that night. Absolutely devastating when you see it firsthand. But I found out what a strong and able staff we have here. Our team, I always hear you say the team, the team, the team.
Right.
Well, we compete with you. We have the team, the team, the team ourselves. And I couldn't be more proud. They've been outside under tents in the rain, the heat, putting together these trucks, cleaning, you know, certain items that go in them that allow us to be organized, and unboxing all the new equipment. I think the staff, about 10 of them, put in 600 hours last week.
600 hours? Just putting everything back together. That is a devoted staff. But I got to tell you, Chet, and earlier you said, you know, some good things have happened through this. And that's because that's the way you are, that you are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. You are seeing the good things out of a very bad situation. And now, I can tell people, because I'm not being paid to say this. I don't do commercials for you. I'd love to, but I don't. I'm saying you came to our house and introduced us to a new way of cleaning and getting things cleaned that could help anybody in their house. Do you do commercial cleaning as well, or just sticking with residential?
We're probably 95% residential. Part of it is our staff, you know, we only work them during daytime hours, and commercial a lot of it gets at night. So the commercial we do is during the daytime.
Well, I can tell you this, from a residential standpoint, as a paying customer, your professional carpet cleaning, pet-friendly cleaning, deodorizing, upholstery cleaning, area rug cleaning, window treatment cleaning, tile and grout cleaning, wood floor cleaning, leather cleaning, all of that, and, of course, the Safety King air duct cleaning, which everyone should look into, are spectacular. I speak from my own experience as a customer. I am so sorry that you've had this fire, but you're seeing the good things that have come out of that. You're seeing the heart and soul of your teammates that have all worked hard to try to get things back together. And I know it's going to take time, and I hope that you don't have any trouble with the insurance company and that you can get your building rebuilt and then just keep growing your company, because you're so good at what you do, Chet. You should be very proud.
Oh, we are proud and humbled, trust me. I do have to say, you know, we're working with Frankenmuth Insurance, and so far they've been excellent, and I've heard nothing but good things about them. So hopefully it keeps going.
Yeah, I've heard good things about Frankenmuth Insurance, too. I grew up with my dad and my brother were in the insurance business, so I've heard some of these names. And I've heard Frankenmuth as being a good company. So I'm glad that you're seconding that and saying, at least so far for you, it's been going very well.
Yeah. And Chet, we had a lot of coverage. We just never expected to use it.
No. But now we learned a lesson about linseed oil and rags, haven't we? For all of us.
Yeah, they need to be left outside, like in a driveway or something.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't know that either, but it's a heck of a way to learn it. But, Chet, God bless you. Any way we can be of help along the way, you let us know.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Paul.
This
always
is Chet.
Talking to you.
All right, pleasure talking with you before I run out of time here. Chet Sadowski, founder and co-owner of Chet's Cleaning. Yes, they had a fire, but they are fully functional. So if you need any of those services I mentioned, call Chet's Cleaning. You will be very happy as we continue with Paul W. at WJR. Okay, they're missing the point, but that's what they're diverting our attention to. The Democrats admit Biden bombed a debate. No. It's nothing to do with the debate. Take, in fact, former President Donald Trump totally out of the equation. A decision has to be made on whether this president can possibly continue to be president of the United States. And certainly we know he cannot possibly run for another term. And anybody who tells you otherwise is defending their party and not their country. They're more concerned about their party being in power than our country being in proper hands to run this country and to defend this country. I am not surprised, but greatly disappointed with the way some people are acting and reacting. People who have been my friend for years, people I have trusted, lied to me, and that's a very tough thing to deal with. Unless they were completely, purposely in the dark and had no idea, what we could see and what we talked about for a very long time on this program, the cognitive slide of the president. This has nothing to do with, as President Obama said, shame on you, President Obama. Oh, I know about having a bad night for a debate. That had nothing to do with what was going on. He did not stand him there alone, and he could not carry on without a script, as he did the next day, with words put into his mouth. And he has enough trouble with that. Pause. Wait for applause. He has enough trouble with that, but he's much better at reading teleprompters. But when you're dealing in a crisis or with something going on, you do not have young script writers writing your response to everything that's going on. All right. Anyway, we've got the team. Dave Rieger, like good old days, in for Mike Parsons, who does a great job as well. Danielle Mason, running the controls for everybody, it seems. Rich Luzinski, WJR Traffic and Weather First, here with us. And you can stream us, which I hope you'll do, at WJR.com or the WJR app, and get our podcasts. If you can't have lunch with Focus, if you can't have lunch with me, get that podcast and tune in when it's convenient for you, if not noon to two, lunchtime, as you're on your way to making each and every day count. Each day is a gift. You know, Joe Biden is on the cover of Vogue right now. And do you remember, Dave Rieger, ever seeing Melania Trump, who was a natural for the cover of Vogue? Do you ever think she was on that cover?
She might have been, but I don't remember.
She wasn't.
Okay.
She was not. As far as I know, as far as we have seen, she was not, which was kind of, ridiculous. Hurricane Beryl is churning toward Jamaica, or has it already gone through? I don't even know. Category 5 storm, leaving at least one person dead and inflicting ruin across the Caribbean on the islands yesterday. The storm has already ripped through scores of homes in Grenada, or Grenada if you prefer. Some say Grenada, some say Grenada. Let's call the whole thing off. St. Vincent and the Grenadines, where many are still without power or water. Beryl continues to smash records as it kicks off an exceptionally early hurricane season, now becoming the earliest Category 5 hurricane on record, and only the second Atlantic storm of such strength to be recorded in July. Forecasts for more harsh winds and rain will be felt around the world in a variety of places. 3 feet to storm surge. Government officials have also activated national disaster response protocols in Jamaica, where water levels may rise 5 feet above normal tide levels. There's a lot going on that we need to be aware of. Did you hear, David, about what is going on in Argentina, Colombia, and Mexico, as they will now affix their ultra-processed foods with tobacco-style warning labels?
I did hear something about that.
So what do you think about that? Should we be doing that in the U.S.?
That's a good question.
We know ultra-processed foods, or now they have initials, UPFs, ultra-processed foods,
yeah,
contain additives, flavorings, colorings, sweeteners, like high fructose corn syrup.
You know, they have it in the ingredients, so I don't know if you need to stick another label on there. I mean, you kind of know, right?
Well, here's the thing that we're learning every day. We kind of know. We know. We're out there. We're paying attention to the reports and the news. But do you know there are a whole bunch of people who don't pay attention to us or the news on television or radio or newspapers? They just don't pay attention, and they're shocked when they find things like this out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Is this kind of like a way for them to say, well, we had it labeled, so you can't come back and, try to sue us later?
Right.
Is that what this is about?
Well, I think everything today is about CYA.
True.
Cover your behind.
Yes.
And virtually everything that happens now is with an eye toward getting in trouble or sued for doing what you're doing. It has upended medicine. It has upended many, many things. And here we are now. Can you imagine these warning labels on food?
I mean, I can imagine it. I can see it happening.
It's happening in Colombia, Mexico, yeah, and Argentina.
I can see it making its way to America.
Over a decade ago, Dr. Carlos Monteiro, a professor of nutrition and public health at the University of Sao Paulo, and a nutritional epidemiologist, developed the NOVA classification for food. Under the system, foods are placed into one of four categories, ranging from unprocessed foods like fresh fruits, vegetables, and meats, to ultra-processed foods, UPFs, that contain those additives, flavorings, colorings, and sweeteners, like high fructose corn syrup, that we know is just flat out bad for you. So I guess I would assume, as dangerous as it is to assume something, I'm going to assume that this will make its way here.
Probably eventually.
Yeah, it generally doesn't go by way of Argentina, Colombia, and Mexico. It goes by way of California.
Right.
You know?
You're correct.
That is usually what happens. Boy, the people are just so fascinated with Melania Trump. They just don't put her on the cover of the magazine she should have been on. But now here's a headline. We don't have time to get into it. I hear the music. But Melania Trump reportedly made a deal with Donald Trump about her possible first lady role again. I mean, to sum it up, kind of she's saying, you know, it is an unpaid position. And she's not sure she needs to go through all the hassle that she had to go through as first lady before. And she's got a son, Barron, and she wants to spend as much time with him as possible if he goes to school in New York, because she's a hands-on mother, which would not generally be complained about. It would be applauded, but this is, of course, Melania Trump, so you never know how people are going to react. But maybe they're saying she'll be at the White House far less than most first ladies. Is that what you think?
Sounds like it. I can remember the first time that I saw Melania Trump. That was when on Trump's when he had his TV show. That was the first time that I remember seeing her. When he used to bring her in all the time when he had his show. So
I didn't know that because I didn't watch the show, so I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Well, it's good that he got
when
her
it was
in.
The, when it was The Apprentice, yeah, he brought her. That was the first time I can remember seeing.
Got her on the payroll. Good for him.
Yeah.
Why am I not surprised? All right, lots going on. Mike Morse, the attorney, founder of the Mike Morse Law Firm, all around a good guy from what I can tell. He and his mom on those commercials. He's going to talk a little bit about the law he doesn't particularly like to practice but has to around these days. It's the laws around fireworks. So we've got that coming up next here with Paul W. Smith in Focus on WJR at 114. Well, we got the fireworks coming up, and there are laws in Michigan that we're not always clear about, so we thought we'd go to a great guy who lives the law. He is the attorney, founder of the Mike Morse Law Firm, and very importantly, son of Sue, Mike Morse is on the other end of my line right now. Michael, nice to catch up with you. It's been a while.
It has been. Thanks for having me today.
Well, it's our pleasure, and I want to salute you and thank you for all that you do for so many, including the book bags and the other things that you have provided to kids for years. Really appreciate that, Mike.
My pleasure. It's my favorite stuff. And, you know, April 11th, 12 to 2, it's coming up. Project Backpack, our 11th year in our parking lot, giving away thousands and thousands of full backpacks. And just a great, great, one of my favorite days of the year.
Well, that's great. And I hope that one day maybe we can, because I'm on from noon to 2, we can maybe broadcast from the location and capture all of the excitement. Because I know, after seeing Variety and do their bicycle giveaway and all these other children's charities that we help support with my golf tournament, I can only imagine how glowing and excited these kids are when they get those backpacks. But right now, we need your legal help with the fireworks. And you've put out a beautiful flyer. I don't know if this is something people can just find online. It's all in red. It's beautiful. It's fireworks in Michigan. Know the laws. Like, for example, when can you legally use fireworks in our great state?
Well, there's different times of the year that our legislature have put together. So the guide that you just mentioned is on our homepage of our website, 855mikewins.com, if anybody wants an in-depth guide. But for this week, it's from the end of June through Fireworks Day, right? Through the 4th of July till 11:45 p.m. Starting at 11 a.m., you're allowed to shoot off fireworks. But you're only allowed to shoot them off on your property, not on public property, which is a big ticket. Southfield, it's a $1,000 ticket. And there's lots of rules and regulations for each different city, which I think is interesting. Every city has its own rules, but the state of Michigan said, I don't care what your city say, you're allowed to light fireworks off till 11:45 on the 4th of July, 3rd, 2nd, 1st, and so on. And so it usurps the local ordinances, which I found pretty interesting.
That is interesting that everybody's got their own little way that they're dealing with this. I'm just wondering if overall the argument was at the time, gee, look at all the money and taxes we're missing out on by not having fireworks legal, since we had people, I remember driving, people would drive to Toledo, for example, to get the fireworks and then bring them back. I don't know that we've seen any kind of a big change in revenue for the state of Michigan with this all happening. Do you, Mike?
I actually have no idea. It's a good point. I know they revamped the laws in 2018. When we put that flyer together, we went back and researched the law, which makes it legal throughout the state in every city, you know, whatever it is, 10 to 12 days a year, and then the cities take over from there. But I have no idea about the revenue that we've received in Michigan.
Michigan law prohibits the use of consumer fireworks by anyone under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Additionally, Michigan law prohibits prohibit the use of fireworks while you're smoking. Come on! We can't be that stupid. But they have to make the law, apparently.
Lots of injuries that are coming out of the fireworks. I mean, I haven't represented thousands of people, but there's definitely, I've represented dozens of people who are in a situation where parents aren't supervising or fireworks are going, you know, getting shot off errantly on somebody's property. Just last week, I think you guys and others have reported that there was two small girls under 10 in a house. They found a dud. They took it into their bathroom without parent supervision. They lit it, and they both lost several fingers. I mean, you hear the sparklers are, you know, you could lose an eye. You could get burned. You could start a fire. There really is a lot of danger to fireworks, and the parents, you know, shouldn't be smoking, they shouldn't be drinking, they shouldn't be on drugs, and they should be very careful. They should have fire extinguishers, they should have buckets of water. Whether or not anybody does those types, you know, has those type of precautions, I don't know, but they should.
Common types of fireworks injuries, as you mentioned, Mike Morse with us, burns to the hands or fingers, eye injuries, fractures, lacerations to hands, loss of fingers, facial injuries, hearing loss, and this can go. You know, we have a weatherman who lost his eye, and he knew what he was doing, quote unquote. I leave the fireworks to Tony Michaels, the parade company, and the Ford fireworks. That's enough for me. They're fabulous. They're great. going to the point now of the danger of setting off fireworks and hurting a family member, or having a firework go off and land on your neighbor's roof and cause a fire. And man, these are things that are so avoidable. I don't know. I just wish people would be satisfied with the fireworks as we see them put on by the cities or the various municipalities. Let me go to, again, if you know somebody, if there's a fireworks-related incident, the attorneys at Mike Morse Law Firm are available 24/7 to help. You can give them a call at 855-MIKE-WINS, 855-645-3946, or you can contact them online at 855-MIKE-WINS.com. And the law business seems to be pretty good in our area, Mike Morse. You're an incredibly successful lawyer. We know some others in our area. And yet we keep getting companies coming in from out of town, almost like they're poaching. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I would want to go with an attorney like yourself or somebody who lives here, who is from here and knows everything they need to know about the great state of Michigan and our laws. But we must be a pretty good market for all these people coming in from out of town.
Well, I think it's just greed. And I think it's people are coming in with no ties and they're trying to set up little shops here. And we have an ad campaign running right now, Paul W., that's called Who You Hire Matters. And sadly, a lot of people in our great state just see a billboard of somebody they don't know, or they see a television commercial, and they just call. It's like, okay, I'll call this person even though I don't know who he is. I don't know what she does. I don't know how good of a lawyer they are. And then 6 months later, they call me. And they say, oh, I made a mistake. I hired this guy who had billboards up, but it turns out he was a criminal lawyer and he was just fishing for auto work. And I called him and he had no idea what he was doing. Mm. And I know people like that. And then these firms coming in from Florida because, you know, they've already taken all the cases from Florida. So now they want to go across the country and just see what they can do without any real ties. There's no money being spent here really other than advertising. They don't even have a big office or a small office. I mean, we employ over 200 Michiganders. We take up rent. We pay rent in 10 different offices across Michigan. We are in the courts. We know the judges. We know the defense attorneys. That's the type of firm you want to go with, someone who's got thousands of five-star reviews on Google, not somebody who's just trying to be like you said, a money play, a money grab to come in here and try to find some dollars, but not giving back. They're not giving backpacks. They're not doing dog events in the parking lot. They don't really care.
Hey, Mike Morse, before I let you go, how's Mom Sue doing, and whose idea was that?
So Sue's great. Her and I spent the day yesterday. She's coming up today with lunch. We're up at our little lake cottage, and she is great. My team, Ross, led by Ross Lerner, who's my creative director, about 10 years ago, we were sitting around and we knew family was a big thing and people love family. I love my family. And my mom was there and we said, Mom, would you mind doing a spot with us? She said, oh, I'd love it. And I'll tell you, she is way more recognizable and known and beloved than I am. People go up to her. She has got stories every single day when she goes to a restaurant, when she goes to a concert, when she goes anywhere, that people are so nice. They want to say hi. They want selfies with her. And she pretends, Paul W., that she pretends she doesn't, you know, she doesn't love it, but we all know she loves it. So it's the best. She's the best.
Well, she is the best, and I wish I could have worked my mother, Sweet Marie, into some commercials, but she was around enough, and we're lucky to have our mothers. Mine has since passed, but you still have Sue, Sweet Sue, and it's a great, great commercial concept all the way around, and it shows you have a great sense of humor as well, Mike. Have a great, safe 4th of July with the family at your cottage, and a great lunch that Mom is bringing up today. Good for you.
I will. Happy 4th to you, too. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Mike Morse, bye-bye. Mike Morse Law Firm. You can call him at 855-MIKE-WINS. You can go online, 855-MIKE-WINS.com. And look online at that list of all the information regarding fireworks. I'm going to depend on it tomorrow, especially talking and reminding you about ways to avoid injuries from fireworks, among other things that Mike has kindly included on this this little sheet that you can get online. As we continue in focus, Mike Rogers coming up next on WJR. With you Monday through Friday, noon to 2, you can have lunch with us. And if you can't, you can always stream us at WJR.com, the WJR app. Get our podcast so you can listen anytime that is convenient for you. But it really means a lot to me if you do follow and listen to the podcast, even if you can't be here noon to 2 for lunch. I understand completely, but I'll miss you otherwise. Meanwhile, I've said it before, and by way of full disclosure, I'm a big fan of Mike Rogers for his work and the things that he has done that I've watched him do over the years. Former U.S. representative. I don't want to go through his whole bio, don't need to, but I can tell you that he also was a guy who kindly stepped in and introduced me in Chicago for my induction into the National Radio Hall of Fame. So we do have a strong relationship and friendship. I think that's come through rather clearly. And I do believe he would make a fabulous United States senator, or I wouldn't say so. But I know there are people running against him. In fact, one gentleman running against him really is running against him. I just saw his commercial run back-to-back, and I don't know how that's not necessarily effective, I don't think, for television advertising, but I'm not an expert in it. It's kind of actually annoying to me. But be that as it may, we have a former representative and I hope soon to be United States Senator Mike Rogers on the line right now. It's nice to catch up with you, Michael.
Paul, it is always good to be here. And I don't know if you knew this, but there is a rumor going on July 5th. You are opening up for the Beach Boys. I'm pretty sure that's how that story goes. But you're opening up for the Beach Boys. Can't wait to hear that. That's going to be fantastic.
That's hilarious. Opening up for the Beach Boys. Well, I will say, no one was more shocked than me the other day when my phone rang, and I didn't answer it right away because I was on another call, and I didn't even see the message until hours later. Hey, Paul W., it's Mike Love. Can you help us? Can you introduce us? And blah. And I said, what? Mike Love, how do you have my number? But I guess we must have exchanged numbers last year when I did, in fact, introduce the Beach Boys. It was great fun. Looks like we're going to do it again this year. Nice of you to bring up, Mike. You know, the guy that's running
by the way, just for the audience, that's going to be worth the price of admission right there.
Don't get him.
Got to make you sing.
Don't get him all wound up. I'd love to sit in on the drums, but I'm not going to do that because I haven't played the drums in so long. It would be embarrassing. But be that as it may, what's the guy's name? They have, somewhere. He's very well known. Kim will tell me eventually. She'll text me.
Stamos?
Yeah. What's it?
John Stamos.
John Stamos. Right? Thank you. I remember him from Full House and, you know, all of that stuff. So, but I never knew he was a drummer, but he's been doing this for years with the Beach Boys. Let's get to you. Enough about the Beach Boys. Looking forward to it. Nice of you to bring
endless
them up.
Endless summer. It is endless summer.
It is endless summer. But, you know, this person that keeps running the commercials against you is running on a story that I think is the same story that led former President Donald Trump to his first really big mistake, and that was not putting you in as the head of the FBI with your experience. If you had gone in as the head of the FBI, do you realize how many fewer problems former President Trump would have right now by having a straight shooter in charge of the FBI? But there was there's these rumors at the time that you were cutting a break for Clinton and all for Mrs. Clinton and all this other stuff that just wasn't true. And they've dug it up again to use, I think, not very effectively, but you never know how these things work. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, absolutely. It's horrifically dishonest. As a matter of fact, Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State and CIA Director for Donald Trump, was on the Intelligence Committee, my committee that I chaired. He went on to serve on the Benghazi Committee. He's come out and said this is absolutely absurd. Absurd. And so they know that. They keep running it. Matter of fact, there's parts of our report that they say, you know, all of this apparently happened. And it is very clear, and we make very clear, of the mistakes that Hillary Clinton made going into Benghazi. And they made some serious mistakes. It was a complete failure of leadership on her behalf. That's all outlined in my report. So somehow you can make this, you know, put three pieces of a thing together and make the assertion that somehow I was covering up for anybody. It's dishonest. It's disingenuous. The good news is when I run into people, they say, well, I don't know who the guy is, but all he does is say bad things. I don't even know who he is, and he's not going to get my vote. So I think it's working against them more than it's working for them. And, you know, some people believe that this is the only way to win is you got to either, you know, make something up and say it loud and hope people fall for it. But it doesn't seem to be – our polling shows it's not making an impact. We're out there on positive message about doing something about grocery prices, doing something about gas prices, about closing the southern border, about making sure that we have all the efforts we need in the state of Michigan to stop the crime wave that's happening. We just lost two deputy sheriffs just within the last, you know, right, few weeks, killed in the line of duty. We're paying attention to those things. We're talking about how we're going to make America a much better place, so that your paycheck goes to the end of the month. You don't have to go to the food pantry to finish it off. I mean, those are the things that seem to be resonating with people. And I tell you, I think it's working, Paul. Our numbers are strong, holding strong. We're building out a ground team around the state that's going to talk to voters. And again, the most important thing, yep, we're going to win in August, and we're focused on that right now.
Well,
but we will win in November. That's the big one.
You were on the front page. It might have been yesterday. They were talking about you by far being the leader in this race, and therefore everybody's coming after you. Which you're a big guy. You understand that, and you can go for it. But I just need to ask you a quick question. I mean,
sure.
What we're finding through the so-called debate is the people who love their party far more than they love our country. So here we have Governor Gretchen Whitmer saying President Biden can win Michigan. If you really care, you would hope that President Biden will not be in a position to win Michigan because he's not capable of handling his job. I want to hear what you have to say after you watched what we all watched.
Yeah, this is, and I think she was right the first time. She's backtracking a little bit that Biden can't win Michigan, and I think they're right. But it's not based on one awful and I think sad to watch debate performance. It's because they're just so wrong on an open border. They're so wrong on mandating the kind of car you drive and the, how you cook your food and the amount of water is in your toilet and the kind of, you know, how you heat your shower. All of that is just wrong for Michigan. And I think that's why they're not going to win it. Crime, cost of groceries, all of these things are really important to Michigan families. And I know I've seen a lot of them. And I am a big guy. You're right, Paul, but I am working on it. I'm trying to shed a couple of pounds. I
that's not what I that's not what I meant. And, you know, we wish you good luck running for United States Senate. It is Mike Rogers. And you can, you know, they're pushing the vote early. I got a thing saying, hey, would you like to vote early? I mean, I never asked. I didn't inquire. But this is how they win, is by pushing that early vote. But if you want to vote early for Mike Rogers in the Michigan primary, you can find out how at rogersforsenate.com/vote. rogersforsenate.com/vote. And if they're going to be voting early, everybody should vote early then. And we'll see what happens with all of that. Best to Christy and to you, Mike Rogers.
Thanks. Best to you and Kim. This is the opportunity to change America. This is that most consequential election. Let's do this. Get on board. Vote for us in August. And so we're going to march this team right through November.
Senate candidate Mike Rogers, all around a good guy in my world, at least in my personal experience. Thank you, Mike, very much. We continue on WJR. In my column yesterday, I don't think I've ever done this, but I think I should do it. And sometimes it's written differently than the way I actually write it. But that's why we have editors, and they do a better job than me. But this is basically my column from yesterday. It runs every Monday. I'm honored to be a part of the Detroit News with all of that. So this is Out of My Mind on a Monday Moaning, which is what Bob Talbert used to write on Mondays. And I so appreciated him and his wife, who has been supportive along the way. It's all good. And remembering Bob Talbert is a good thing. But what I wrote was, did you hear people say before Thursday's debate, I wonder which Donald Trump will show up? I didn't hear too many people say, I wonder which Joe Biden will show up. But obviously, they should have. I've asked a number of times after the State of the Union address, even the very next day, where did that Joe Biden come from and where is he today? We may never find out where that President Biden came from or went, but we know quite clearly he did not show up for the debate, not even close. After a full week of preparation and practice, it is astonishing anyone, let alone the current President of the United States, could be so dazed and confused on the world stage as he was. The supporters who lied to the American people by saying, quote, oh, behind the scenes he has so much energy and gets so much done, end of quote. Or the politicians who would challenge me when I would point out over the last several months the president's clear cognitive failings on this radio show. It's so obvious that they clearly care more about their party than this great country of ours. And don't get me started on his family, including Dr. Jill Biden. How could a wife or brother or any family member stand by and watch a loved one go through this embarrassment and have his career end with such embarrassment and sadness? We finally beat Medicare, said he proudly, not having any idea what he was talking about. Obviously, former President Donald Trump won the debate, but was it enough to change the minds of those who don't like him? People who have been in denial regarding President Biden's decline can no longer kid themselves. It's over. If you're honest with yourself, you know he can't possibly serve another term. And in the end, it was sad to watch. There's no celebration here. But there is fear that these people who care more about the party than the country are going to keep pushing that he's okay, that he'll be fine. No, he's not okay. He won't be fine. Forget about what the so-called debate showed us. Just think of him on his own and how bad it was for him on his own. The family part really is upsetting to me, for them to basically drag him through this is very sad and unfortunate. But you know who I like to turn to for information is JR Afternoon's Chris Renwick, who is ready. He has girded his loins. He has wrapped his ankles.
Taped
and he's
up.
Ready to go.
Ready to go.
I got to pass something along from Mike Kim.
Okay.
Because we had time, a little time, she more than me, because I couldn't move around as much, because I haven't been going to my doctor. And I went three times, maybe four times now, and am getting help.
Oh, good.
For my back. I just, you know, when you keep putting it off, and, you know, it was a disservice to Sal Kogan, my friend and doctor, because I keep talking about his place, and then people see me and go, well, good, he's going to Dr. Kogan. I wasn't showing up. I told you in the commercial I went once, and that's not going to do it. So I took time off, and I went four times now. And the difference is unbelievable.
Good.
Do as I say, not as I do. Do not put yourself second, third, fifth, tenth on your list of things to do. Put yourself number one and get the help. And I'm telling you, Dr. Sal Kogan can help, but you have to go there to get the help. And I sadly wasn't going there like I should. Now I've picked it up,
good.
And now it's much better.
Good.
Anyway,
good.
What I wanted to say was that my wife, Kim, who got over to your table more than I was able to, couldn't have been more complimentary of you, Chris, of your beautiful wife, Stephanie, and how great a job you appear to have been doing with Jake and Henry, your two boys.
Yeah, appear is the key word.
No, I'm telling you, I could see them from the time they were just sitting there to the time you put those cute little headphones on them to protect their hearing. I just thought it was fabulous to see. I mean, I think you can tell a man. You can tell a lot about a man when you see his family, and we saw your family, and it's all good.
Yeah, out at the fireworks. We had a great time. It was great to see you and all the folks that you had on the fireworks show. It was great. And the kids are, you know, kids are fun. I love them. They're my life. Sometimes I just want to put them to bed and not see them for 12 hours, but...
I think that's normal.
No, they were great, and they had a great night. And my oldest, Jake, he kept saying the fireworks were going off, and he just kept looking at me, and he would say, "These are fantastic." So they had a great night. It was good to see you and Kim and her mom, and it was nice to see everybody out there.
We had a great time. So how old is Jake?
Jake just turned six. Just a week and a half ago. Henry's two and a half.
They are so well-mannered and so lovely that you and Stephanie clearly have done a great job.
Oh, thank you.
Good for you.
Appreciate that.
What are you talking about today?
Well, you know, I'm going to piggyback a little bit off your piece in the Detroit News. You know, there is a growing chorus now of people saying that the president needs to step aside. And these are lawmakers. These are current lawmakers. These are former lawmakers that are saying that he needs to step aside. And who comes in, we'll talk about it. And you know, the president yesterday, I don't know if you heard his speech yesterday, but he said something to me that was really jarring. And I want to know if people caught it, because I haven't heard much about it.
I want to hear. What is it?
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't have the cut ready yet, but I'm going to...
Okay.
I'll play it, but I'll tell you what it is. He said something to the effect of, well, if the courts aren't going to do it, well, the American people have to do it, meaning keep Donald Trump out of the presidency. And to me, that is a weird thing to say, because isn't it always up to the American voter to decide who they want as president?
They didn't want it that way, but it is supposed to be. But, man, that's an excellent catch. That is an excellent catch.
It just perked up my ears, and I thought, that's just strange. So we'll talk about that. And the president spoke today. It was a political speech, and we'll get to it as well. And we also have, coming up later, I'm very excited about this, D.G. Hart. He's an historian and a Ben Franklin founding fathers expert over at Hillsdale College. We're going to get his perspective on what the founding fathers meant when it came to presidential power and immunity. We'll get to that as well.
Well, you're going to the right place. If you're going to Hillsdale College for something about the our forefathers and our Constitution and all of that, you can't get any better than Hillsdale College, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, it's JR Afternoon, the one, the only, Chris Renwick, married to Stephanie, with sons Jake and Henry, already getting groomed to take over the show in several years from now. I was just thinking about, I wish my kids wanted to take over the show, but whatever. I want them to do whatever they want to do, as you want your kids to do whatever they want to do. Have a great show. I know you will.
Thanks,
Chris.
Pauline.
Thanks much. Thanks to the team, the team, the team. Dave Rieger in for Mike Parsons. Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, and, of course, you, the best and brightest audience in all of radio, on your way to making each and every day count each day as a gift. Regards, Paul W. Smith.